I'm promising nothing for the show quality today. Howard, you've got to check out in like 30 seconds because we're shooting down the little bit of prep we wanted to do. And really, as soon as Ace fired up right there, like the turd I was holding in crowned. So,
oh, man. I hate when that happens.
I'll be holding in a bit of a brown crayon for a while. This is not going
to
be fun.
We can always go to a commercial break, you know. I mean, we're on public access, but...
Well, I think any show where you're holding in something, it brings an urgency to it. It's just like, I need to do this. Like, if you talk faster, you'll somehow finish faster.
Right.
And get to what you got to do. It doesn't work that way. Time does not bend around the speed of my speaking, but I'd like to believe that when I gots to crap. You're listening to another episode of Papa's Basement. I'm your host, John Papa Giorgio. With me today is the ever-lovely, ever-effervescent Howard Highland.
Oh, baby, I like it raw.
There you go. The ODB himself. Finest song ever. We'll get to that one in a second.
R.I.P.
Show's website, inpapasbasement.com. Go there for an archive of every episode we've ever done of this damn thing, as well as my writing. You can find our Twitter accounts, our Facebook pages, our iTunes. Everything is there. Please, again, inpapasbasement.com. Find all our Twitter. I think it's at Papa's Basement, Facebook.com/Papa's Basement, iTunes.com/an incomprehensible series of letters and numbers. So you really got to go to inpapasbasement.com for that iTunes link. But that means the world, because then you'll subscribe and you'll rate it, and my life will be worth something. I'll be validated, however briefly. Let's talk about the old dirty bastard.
Yeah, please, please.
Let's talk about Shimmy Shimmy Ya. Do you remember that was the intro? I've only seen the movie once. I'm very sure that was the intro to Knocked Up.
Which I never understood, but I just loved it anyway.
Let me bring down the Lemmy. All right, now we've got silence. I didn't get it either, because that was one of those tracks. I want to say Return to the 36. That was the very first ODB album, right? And that was like the first spinoff after Wu-Tang.
I think, well, it's probably the most famous. I think it's going to be the longest living one. I shouldn't say most longest living, because we don't know. Like 200 years from now, people might be like the GZA and Raekwon.
I was going to say like Golden Arms or something like that. You God was the genius of the group.
Well. I'm pretty sure that's not going to happen.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, for those that weren't around back then, 36 Chambers dropped in 93 and was just massive because, God, I'm trying to think of the rap environment around that time. You kind of had...
A lot of fake MCs were threatening to basically do what happened now. I mean, rap's kind of making a comeback, I feel, but there was a minute where it was just like 50 Cent.
Well, that was like 05. It's, for my money, it's been club music a long time now, man.
But I think it started around the time Wu-Tang came out. I feel like rap was already threatened at that point. Like, it was on the... I mean, Wu-Tang commercialized, too, let's be real. But, like,
yeah,
when they first showed up...
like a champ. They made Wu-Wear. I mean...
More copies than Kenko's. I mean, once you hit that, like, yeah.
I mean, they were... I guess they're going to paint it a success because they are whores on their own terms and whores for their own product, but they were whores.
Yeah. They lost their edge. I mean, it's really hard.
They did. Like, 36 Chambers came out, and that was just the best damn thing ever.
Yeah.
And then RZA made, like, a spinoff album for each solo dude, and some of them were kind of crap, as I recall. Like, the first one for each dude, pretty good. Like, Return to the 36, maybe my favorite. Liquid Swords would be the other contender.
Liquid Swords, maybe.
Liquid Swords was amazing.
Historic.
Yeah. Love Liquid Swords. And then you had what? Just the very first Method was T-Cal.
Also pretty good.
That was a good one. And those are kind of like your top three. Oh, and then you had Iron Man.
Oh, we're doing this dirty, right?
You can do it dirty, sure. I was keeping it clean so we could toss it on, but I don't care if it goes dirty. I'll give them something to play tomorrow. Either way.
Just to this day, like, I just remember verbatim from Method Man's album when he starts breaking down the insults, man.
Oh.
I'll fucking sew your ass cheeks shut and just keep feeding you and feeding you and feeding you.
That was the Method Man song, though, on 36. Wasn't it like a remix on his personal album?
I thought they did. You might be right. Maybe it was just on 36.
I think there might have been a remix.
It's too good. I mean, just like that. I'd never even thought of doing something like that to a person.
And the whole rhyme is, the whole rhyme, this will blow your mind, is lifted from a Hall & Oates song.
Oh, money.
The M-E-T-H-O-D. That's from a Hall & Oates song called Methods of Modern Love.
Thank you for the enlightening realization of like
one of not many people out there that will bump both Method Man and Hall & Oates in his car.
Apparently the RZA is with you on that though. That's what's cool.
I think Hall & Oates were huge in New York. They're like one of those weird bands, New York based, that like they had national fame, but they just got love in their hometown.
Yeah, man. I mean, like, I think we're seeing more people like yourself, myself, and the RZA who kind of
listen to whatever at this point.
I mean, just I know good and I know bad. So.
Yeah, I don't get guys who break down music and they're like, I'll listen to anything but country. I hate rap. Really? Your 4-minute song with its pre-chorus and its hook is so different from my 4-minute song with its pre-chorus and its hook. They're both sung in English, you know, they got their intro, they got their outro. It's like, unless you're listening to like Lou Reed Metal Machine music and it's just 30 minutes solid of noise and there's nothingness, you're not listening to anything that different. I'm sorry.
No, I mean, it's all pretty well related. I think I can understand some people seeing genres being kind of different. You know, there's sometimes like it's hard to break into a genre because in every genre there's a lot of crap. And so how do you get to the good stuff? You got to sit through a lot of crap. And
You can. I mean, I was always more of the I'll read a bunch of reviews and I'll trust some reviewers who more or less like will sync up with what I think.
Mm-hmm.
Much more for like video games than music. Music, I was a much more daring kid and the internet didn't exist. So I was like, hell, it's Metallica. I'm buying it.
Yeah.
It's the new Slayer. I think I'm going to like it. And that was how I operated back then. But I would try to align myself with kind of the best and then just get familiar with their catalog. Now, you get older, you get exposed to more genres. You can't just like learn the ins and outs of metal or whatever the hell you're into.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, I want to hear Rumors a couple times before I die in its entirety. I'm not going to get into the whole Fleetwood catalog, but so you start to pick and choose more and more. It's like, I'll pick my band, I'll pick their two best albums, and that's what I'll listen to.
No, I'm down with that, man. I think it's important for people to just diversify their portfolio. So.
You gotta diversify your bonds. No, I remember making that leap, and I don't know, maybe like 5, 6, 7 years ago, something like that. There was a time where I still wanted to know everything about a band, and if you owned a best of record, to quote, oh god, is it Bruce McCullough on Kids of the Hall, best of records are for grandmothers and little girls. And that's how I felt for the longest time, and now I'm just like, give it to me. That's the simplest thing.
No, I agree with you, and here's the thing. Here's one thing I want to tell you about. For me, on my bucket list is the best of Howard. Now, I'm not a recording artist by any means. My ability to sing has often been questioned as well, but one of these days, we live in an age.
You silenced that with your opening. But,
just one of these days, I want to cut an album of my favorite tracks, and, you know, it's so nerdy. So I'm an attorney, and I think I know enough about copyright to just, like, actually release an album that who knows who'll buy it.
I feel like
hopefully
it sucks,
my friends.
But I didn't infringe anything.
Yeah, because, I mean, like, you have to set it up, I believe, in a way that the number of people who buy it will justify, like, copyright use, basically. So that's why things like MySpace make it possible for me to do
this. I never got music law, period, though. Like, how the hell does that... If I want to cover a Pink Floyd song in a recording environment, not live. Well, even live. Hell, answer me that one as well. I want to cover another Brick in the Wall. I'm on stage. And I operate in some crappy dive bar in Chantilly. Do I have to address that in any way, shape, or form with Roger Waters?
The two, I guess, royalty agencies are the main thing.
Okay.
And so most venues are supposed to have an agreement. This is something I just found out, but if you're playing live at a restaurant, they probably should have an agreement with those.
To cover you.
Yeah, and it's I haven't looked into the practical details of, do you have to, as an artist that plays at a joint, give your like song list in advance? Because it's not unreasonable.
Well, I think
like,
they get
you know
a
the
blanket thing.
Play,
just like, so. Allegedly, we can play any song while we're doing something live with Fairfax County Public Access. They pay for that.
Exactly, yeah. It's the same concept. So if you're doing it live on stage, it's just you got to make sure that every song is supposed to be reported.
Okay,
whether or not
so now,
like, there's a camera in the room like recording everything that's played that day. I mean, it's just usually you probably just have a list, and if there's a random request at some point, you may not remember. Oh, I forgot that. Like, people always want to hear Piano Man. I definitely didn't put. I don't
Who
know how that works.
Who wouldn't want to hear Piano Man? That better be on the bucket list album, by the way.
Actually, no. I'm not going down like that, man. That's a karaoke track.
That's
this
true.
This is not karaoke. This is me doing legitimate music.
Okay,
right?
So the best of the erotic interpretation of Howard Highland. The best of, do you have to run that by people or what? Or can you get a band to bang out whatever songs you want? And you do not have to contact the copyright holders. That I don't.
No, I mean, you do have to secure permission. That I need to look into more. Because mm-hmm. I've just started looking into this process. And the big thing for most people is royalties. I mean, they just want their money.
Everyone
and
knows.
The biggest thing you got to make sure is, all right, let me follow the royalty rules, and I'll probably be able to do this.
Okay.
Most artists are willing to, like, let some dude, if he's willing to pay, like, do this. So, obviously, like, I think theoretically I could be denied the opportunity. But, you know, I think that's just...
Maybe that's your in with an older, wiser RZA, and then you two become friends.
That would be amazing. I mean, he apparently did retweet you that one time, so...
The RZA
I mean,
did.
We're pretty close
That was
now.
My first famous person retweet. Was the RZA with
during the Super Bowl, no less.
Yes,
my goodness.
I was like, "F the Who." No one wants to see these old white men put the Wu-Tang Clan on stage. And he retweeted something to that effect. He was like, "This year the Who, next year the Wu."
Yeah,
bong.
It was so money. It was so much. Like his, like yours was good, but his even like went further. And I never even made that connection. The RZA's a lyricist.
He is. I love him, and you would respect him, unlike Quentin Tarantino, who just wants to trot him out for being black. Like, I'm not a poser. I have black friends. Here's RZA. He likes me. Hi. God, I hate him. We were bashing him on the show last night.
But speaking of him, man, like, all right. So one of the things for, I think, Tarantino in all time. I don't know how this works, but Pulp Fiction, he drops the N-word like 50 times, you know?
That's he does it his with shtick. The hard R. That's what makes it so creepy. He's like, he played it off as like, I'm a white guy from the hood. So I know how black people talk. Well, I've never heard black people dropping the hard R on each other.
Well, he was acting like a strange whitey, which I thought was kind of the shtick where he's like, hey.
See, I don't think he would ever have the level of confidence to do that. I think he was just being like, this is how they talk. They, with the big capital T.
I disagree. I think he really was trying to be like, this is what white people think. Or I'm sorry, this is what black people think of white people who say it.
Maybe. I mean, you're getting a little cerebral with that, but I'll roll with it.
Me and Tarantino, in some ways, I hate to admit it, are kind of on the same page. I mean, he's a little, like, out there, and he's... I'm with him on being a dilettante, but he definitely just dialed it in after that movie. I think he just kind of gave up on... Like,
I don't think he's cared. I don't think he's cared since. It's just been like, look, this is all going to be, like, really well done, but pulpy 70s movies.
Yeah.
And... To me, that's not making a great grand movie at the end of the day. That's like if I went out there, I'm like, I'm going to make the best damn porno you have ever seen. And you might really hit it out of the park. At the end of the day, it's still a porno. What do I really care? Like, you make the best crafted piece of crap. It's still a piece of crap. It's a great one. But it's still just something like the perfect place for Tarantino movies is like when they play Kill Bill back to back on TBS.
Yeah.
Like that's the home for that. You didn't really try for anything all that lofty. It's enjoyable. It's entertaining. It's well done entertainment, but eh.
Right, yeah. I mean, I think like...
not a film.
I look at, I guess Kubrick for me is a kind of a standard bearer. I mean, he did not make as good movies as he got older. But
yeah.
They were still memorable and they were different and it showed that he was a developing artist. So
what did he have after, I know there's Eyes Wide Shut. Was there anything between that and Full Metal?
I think towards the end he started to slow down. He actually was the originator of AI.
Yes, I heard Spielberg that. Yeah, movie. That was the and big that, thing. They were like, oh, the two best directors ever. And God, AI.
It petered out. No, because...
God, AI was bad.
I mean... What he did on AI, that it's the movie that was never made, but it was interesting because he tried to film it over like the one child actor's lifetime. And he got sick of it, I think. Or it just wasn't working out.
Who wouldn't?
Yeah.
Who the hell wouldn't? That sounds hellish. Wait, he wanted to like...
He could. I mean, he's
I
just...
I had not heard
Stanley
that. Are you
Kubrick.
Kidding me?
I'm just going to follow this kid who... I don't even know if it's somebody who's a famous actor now, but that has to be terrible. You're this kid thinking you're going to be in a Kubrick film in like 20 years,
God,
and then it never comes out.
Uncle Stanley breathing down your neck, screwing up your entire childhood.
Yeah. I mean, it was weird because it would be like, let's film some scenes now. We'll wait 5 years and we'll bring you back. We'll wait another 7 years after that and then we'll do it again. It was kind of like that.
That's a deep dude, man.
So it was a weird experiment and it obviously failed, but I think other people have considered making films over decades instead of just like...
Now we don't have to wait. Now we just have computers to do that.
Or you just like... The audience... The problem is the audience doesn't care if you hire another actor to play the older version.
Not in the least. I could not care less. I'm just like, oh, that's him now?
I'm actually looking... I hate to say this. I'm looking forward to Men in Black with... what's his name?
Josh Brolin
playing
I said
Tommy
James
Lee Jones.
Brolin, the guy who's like banging Streisand. I couldn't care less about that. I just wrote about that on the site.
Oh, I missed that. I'm sorry.
Oh, you
like,
did?
We're totally
that's what I thought
about.
You like brought it up.
No, actually, bring it, man. Tell me about it.
Okay. I was bashing it for the following reasons. One, it's Men in Black. I've always hated those movies.
I hate those movies too, I'll be honest.
Those two guys would hate each other in real life. I've never understood the friendship. I said Tommy Lee would be checking for his wallet every 5 seconds around Will Smith. Second thing, they go back, I think, to 69 in that flick.
Okay.
And they get Brolin, who's only 24 years younger. You're going 43 years back in time. You're getting a dude who barely looks younger than Tommy Lee. Like, especially Tommy Lee in everyone's collective memory, like fugitive era Tommy Lee, which is about 20 years ago. He looks the same as Brolin then, because he is the same damn age. And it's like... I would be so pissed. It's like, dude, I'm old as hell even 45 years ago. Get some young buck to play me at least. It doesn't even make sense. They've got a 45-year-old.
John?
Yeah.
It's a movie about a secret agency that
I know,
helps
that
aliens hide.
Aliens. Yeah. I don't care. Like, for something that's human and real, be believable. Don't get an old dude.
I disagree with you only because that movie to me, I agree, I hate them. The only reason I'm interested in this is I see the ads and I just think it's funny. When I hear Josh Brolin imitating Tommy Lee Jones, because I think it's just like they're making fun of themselves.
Well, they're both Texas guys. I mean, they both just sound like that, I think.
It's weird, though. I read an interview with Brolin. He said that the last thing he wanted to do was just like make a caricature of Tommy Lee Jones. And I'm like, how can you avoid that? Like, this to me is just hilarious.
He tries to scale it down a bit, whereas imagine playing young Arnold. Wouldn't you just be like, nah, yeah, the entire time? Like Conan getting tortured. That's all I do.
Yeah.
And just random get to the choppers. You know? That's it. Why would you want to do anything else with that?
Who's your daddy?
Yeah.
What does he do?
I wanted to get into the mind of young Arnold before he was a 7-time Mr. Olympia. Eat my nuts. No one wants that.
Yeah.
We just want a comic-y, cartoonish, over the top.
Do that thing where you grab a Brazilian dancer's tit.
Exactly.
Like, that's what I want to see.
And you bang your ugly maid.
Yeah.
And impregnate her, and you have a weird-looking Mexican Arnold with her. That's what we want. That's what I want in an Arnold impression.
Oh, man.
I want a 15-year-long impression that involves a child gestating and hitting puberty.
All right, babe, but here, this is why I want to bring me and Tarantino into the same category, and I don't know if I can do it.
I'm here.
My best of album, I do want some hip-hop, and there's one thing about hip-hop. You got to pick carefully because the N-word.
Yeah.
Now, Shimmy Shimmy Y'all is on the list because go back and listen to it, people. Doesn't really drop the N-word. It's in there, I think, once or twice, but it's usually like background vocals. I can avoid that. I can stick with the song. But there's another song that I'm having a real hard time trying to figure out how to get on my album.
Now, this is on your all-time list already.
Already. Now, this is a very recent song, but I think like I've already decided this is a timeless classic.
All right. And you were saying it is, is this my cue to play it or are we just going to discuss it? You can't really hear it if I play it.
Do your fans, do they listen to Drake? Would they know Marvin's Room?
I think a lot of the younger people would. Like a lot of people, yes. Short answer, yes. You wanted yes or no? Yes. So the girls are just like, they know him from Degrassi.
He's
apparently a cripple named Jimmy in a wheelchair in Degrassi, which is just the funniest thing to me.
And now he's trying to front like he's hood, even though he's like
he's hood as hell. He's a child actor.
He's upper middle class, half
he
Jewish
asked for,
black
like,
guy.
Fried chicken on his crafts plate or whatever. That's hood, yo. Where's my grape drink?
Jeez, but to be fair to him, I think he's written a good song there. Kind of reminds me of like when I was
which
like,
song is it?
22, 23. Marvin's Room. It's basically about like sitting around drinking at a party with your boys. You got some girls there who aren't the girl that you're trying to be with, and you got this ex somewhere else that you'd rather be with. Now for him, I'm sure it's like he's got groupies And, you know, there's this one girl that he really cared about, whereas for me, it's just like, yo, I wish I was with this hot girl because I'm just surrounded by these fat chicks right now.
Yeah.
No, so that's how I relate. It's not like I was like, oh, man, I just have all these girls to pick from, but the one I want. No,
I think
it's
that's
like
a
nah.
universal thing. A guy wants it as long as he can't have it. And as soon as he gets it, it's just like, ugh.
But
I hop through what hoops again? There's like a story arc in Game of Thrones that's like that right now. This dude agrees to marry a broad just for access to a bridge. And it doesn't even end up being like important strategically. And he falls for another chick like 2 weeks later. And he's just like, so I got some things to tell you about.
I would have loved to see Marvin's room playing in Games of Thrones. Right
oh,
there.
God, just... that would be great. No, I respect their commitment to like period music. It's all like strings and junk like that.
The anachronistic hip hop song in a medieval tune, though, I would love it.
Oh god, yeah. There's no like drowning pool during the fighting scenes or something like that.
Oh man,
what a great show! By the way, are you on that?
I'm not yet.
Oh,
I'm not.
You're missing out. Oh,
but
just the preview for next week with a little Peter Dinklage or whatever the hell his name is. There's like a 60-second scene of him giving a speech like before war, like readying his troops. He's like, those are brave men at our walls. Let's go out there and kill them. That's literally the line he delivers. I lose it at that. The guy is so good in that show. I love him, man. I cracked wise before I started watching it. I did some tweet like directed at him. And I was like, before I watched Game of Thrones, I thought Peter Dinklage was just a special effect. I feel like such a dick. It's so awesome. I know he didn't read it. I know it doesn't matter. But in a perfect world, he did and it does.
You got to live your life like people know what you're saying about him. That's my MO.
It's a good way to go about it, man. Take your sip of Canada
but
Dry.
That is why for me, I need feedback from all my people who are perhaps not considering me to be like always the same people. And what I mean by that, in Marvin's room, the chorus goes, fuck that nigga that you love so
and
bad.
Here goes this being the clean show I put on Saturday.
And for me, it's just like, well, you drop the N-word like that. If I'm sitting in a club or, you know, like, I'm advertising on air, like, hey, buy my album. Here's my cover of Marvin's Room.
Yeah.
I think a bunch of people will be kind of upset. So like,
well, they'll just fast forward to the meaty part and be like, did he say it?
Did he say it? Did Howard say it?
And
did Howard
will.
Drop the N-word?
And you will.
He didn't just drop the N-word. And so, you know, like, I've been trying to come up with, like, alternative lyrics.
Yeah.
Because I'm going to do the song no matter what. I just don't think I can drop the N-word on it.
It's a sticky wicket. I'm going to just give a blanket answer now of, like, well, okay. Personally, me, I'm not against any form of free speech, so say it a million times. I've said it on air
like
before.
Tarantino, though. Like Tarantino. I'm just saying, like, I'm covering the song. I'm doing it the way it's supposed to be said because it diminishes the artist's composition.
It kind of does. We're all adults. The only awkward N-word stuff with me is, like, when you got black friends and they always, like, give you the hug, and it's, like, my N, and you want to be like, hello, my friend, back.
But am I just supposed to, like, go around and ask all my black friends, like, hey, can I do this?
Yeah, and as long as you get a plurality.
And I almost think it, like, it'd be worse to go around and be like, hey, dude, is this cool? It's like, why are you asking?
Yeah, it would. It would be worse.
I think it would, yeah.
I mean, but it'd be like an okay conversation starter. Well, actually, I take that back. If you saw a hot black chick across the club, it would be the worst conversation starter ever, but it would be a conversation starter. You could rebound from that and try to sleep with her friend.
Well, anyway, I'm considering dropping the N-word in it anyway. But I think I've come up with an alternative finally.
Okay.
Like, what's my clean version? Okay. I'm still going to drop the F-bomb, like I've done on your show, and, like, ruined any chance of this going on, like, public
access.
We might
still add sine curve bleeps to everything. We've only got three things I have to bleep out so far.
All right. Well, I'm going to keep, like, singing my new versions with the F-word.
Okay.
Can I say buck? Should I say buck? Buck that.
I would say buck anyhow. It sounds funnier. Yeah. Especially after what I recorded last night, where it's like a mile a minute. It's like more S than Scarface in that episode.
But to me, I think there's a problem with like the song just has a different connotation when a not black person starts singing Marvin's Room. Because if I start saying, like, even a politically correct version, if I'm like, buck that African-American that you love so bad.
That would not fly, no.
Nah, I think that's just like, he just said, F that.
F that AA.
Yeah. I'm going to have to go talk to him. That's not all right, man.
Yeah. Nah, that would be weird. It wouldn't fly. I go for drop the N-bomb and then just get like a really hearty tan before you do your cover picture. And people just be like, maybe.
No, I think I settled on, you're going to have to bleep this.
Okay. Add another FA. I'm not going to. I can't. Well.
But for all the people out there who ever want to do a cover of Marvin's Room and you are not yourself black, you got to go with shithead. Fuck that shithead that you loves. I'm telling you, that's as good as it gets. You could do dickhead too, maybe. Fuck that dickhead.
All right, I'm going to stop keeping track of it. Just take this recording with all the little impotent tab marks where I put in, like, a bad word was said here.
But yeah, getting back to, like, the diversity of songs. I'm not just doing hip-hop. I would do some country. Like, your boy Elvis would have to be on there. Your boy Johnny Cash would have to be on there.
Of course.
I throw some females in there. You were talking about Rumors earlier.
Yeah.
I got to say, I sound a little bit like Christine McVie. I'm just going to throw it out there.
You're always a fan of that. I remember, back when U2 was big for Lemon. And you're like, man, I love how Bono does that falsetto. And then you're like singing Lemon perfectly. And I was just like, God, you sound like a castrati. Yeah. It's horrible. How did you do that?
Now, actually, Christine McVie kind of sounds like she dropped a pair, man. Yeah.
Landslide.
No, that's Stevie.
I know that's Stevie. Yeah. I'm trying to think of a Christie song.
It's that song, like. I don't want to sing on the air on this because it's weird.
Well, now you got it. Chicks. It's going to be on the best of.
Because when the loving starts and the lights go.
Oh,
that song.
That's a chick singing that?
That's a chick.
Jesus Christ. Yeah. I thought it was like Lindsey Buckingham singing
no,
that.
No, she dropped it lower than Lindsey.
Oh, my God.
That's a chick. That's a chick.
That's a dude.
Howard Hyland can sing that.
Yeah, you can.
Yeah.
At a lighter tunage than her as well. Good. That's a chick.
That's a
that?
Chick. She's hot too.
What's it called?
I would
Say
rather
you love me or something. That song. Right?
I think there are two kinds of men in this world: the kind that go with Stevie, and the guys that go with Christine. I'm a Christine kind of guy myself. She reminds me a little bit of who's that other 70s tennis star, Chris Everett.
How's a dude?
No, Jim Everett's the dude. So I mean, Jim like, Rome like used to call. Jim Everett, Chris Everett, and that's when Jim Rome got like decked, and that's why he's famous.
Rome is
Chris
horrible.
Everett is a chick. Jim Everett is a dude, and Jim Rome.
I think I know
used
what
one
Chris,
against the other to get famous.
Or no, I'm thinking of that Martina Navratilova.
Oh yeah, yeah,
that's
yeah.
That's a dude, right? That one's just got a dong.
What? No, no.
I mean, no. She looks it. That's all I'm saying.
There was a. I thought there was a transgendered tennis player. Who had success on the female circuit. That
I
was,
believe so, yeah. And
that
didn't
was
she, like, collapse and die or something like
oh,
that?
Oh, really?
She was either that, it was a tennis player or a female Olympian. They collapsed and die, and they found that she had she-junk. And it was like, yeah, no wonder she could outrun everyone. She's
yeah.
a dong.
But no, Martina Navratilova is, like, barely 5'1". She's a little lesbian.
Who is the one that has, like, the butchiest man face? That is Chris Everett, right?
No, Chris Everett's super hot. You're talking Steffi Graf, the one that Agassi impregnated, whose body is great, but she's got a butter face.
Oh, it's the worst face ever.
But no, you're talking Martina Navratilova has got like her face is a raisin. I mean, like I didn't see her when she was young. I only knew her when she was older. But
oh yeah, I'd slam the hell out of Chris Everett.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, dude. Like her and Christine McVie, just like the three of us could like if I could go back in time with Will Smith in Men in Black 3, I would go hang out with Christine McVie. Chris Everett,
it
and we would have a good weekend.
It isn't Navratilova whatever either. I forgot who the hell it is. It's this one female tennis chick, like from the 70s. Did she play Arthur Ashe?
Oh, no. No, she didn't play Arthur Ashe. She played this, like, out of shape, like Bobby Jones, like this old guy.
That chick
I know
looks
who
like she could
about.
Hang inches, man. Like, she could hang dong. I mean, that is, like, doesn't want to stretch too far.
Billie Jean
serve.
King. That's who it is.
I'm thinking of another one, but Billie Jean is also fiendishly manlike, yes. God damn it. I'm thinking of a blonde Billie Jean King, just a looker and a half. I don't know who the hell it could be. Hold on.
Wait, look. Like you're saying she's butt? Like just
hold
horrible
on.
Looking? Or
yes. Hold on. Let me look up. Oh, Billie Jean. Yeah. No, no. This one is like manlier than Billie Jean King. Billie Jean Jeez. Is like Ally Sheedy after she gets her makeup done by Molly Ringwald in The Breakfast Club by comparison.
Wow.
This is just a train. Oh, God damn it. Who is it? I'll never remember, and that's going to eat me alive. But I should just Google man-faced female tennis player. I bet it comes up.
But all right, John, let's say...
I am going to do that.
Go on.
But as far as like songs you would... Like, would you cut an album? Would you cut a duet with me?
I would, but only if it was like one of those man-chick or man-chick duets where it's like they talk about banging each other, because then it'd be hilarious. But
I would do that.
I would do like a normal duet, too. Sadly, there's no Hall & Oates like duets, to my knowledge. It was just all Hall.
Would you do Paradise by the Dashboard Lights with me?
Yeah, I'd be the chick that Meatloaf bangs. Sure, why not?
It depends on like range, man. Can you get up there? Because her part's hard.
Maybe
you might
be
stuck with
that,
the
though.
Meatloaf piece. I gotta tell you.
I can rock some loaf. I would do anything for love. God damn it. Who is the man face?
But I won't do that ugly tennis player from the 70s.
Oh, I'm trying to remember who the hell it is. Driving me nuts. By the way, if you Google man-faced female tennis players, you come back with a phone book. There's roughly a million pictures. Nothing working either.
Oh, man.
None of what I wanted.
There's some other chicks I'll be honest. I would, in real life, like when she was alive, I would have done Amy Winehouse. But I would also like to cover some of her songs.
She was a great artist, and she had the implants, and she was skinny. Not to sound too Will-like, I wanted a little Will on this.
Just back. One of my favorite things.
We've all slept with women less attractive than Amy Winehouse. Let's just put that out there. Every guy has. Even Leo DiCaprio has. Not anymore, but in the day, he did. Just get over it, ladies.
I think you hear what she talks, and like in ways, she just talks like a dude, and I love that. Like, her view of the world sometimes, I'm just like, that is cool. Like, one of her problems with her ex, or, you know, I guess they got married too, at least as encompassed in Back to Black.
Well, just like another, he was like another junkie, right? And they're just horrible for each other. It's just gas on a fire.
I think in that song, she described it as, I like pipe, and you love blow. You know what I mean? It's just like, whoa, you're crazy. I love it. You're crazy. Oh, you noticed the carpet burn from me cheating on you.
Yeah.
My bad. I'm like, whoa. Yo, this chick is crazy. We should hang.
She seemed fun. She died how young again?
She was pretty young, man.
Like 27. I remember it was like the 27 club.
27, yeah.
That was that whole thing with Kurt Cobain and Jim Morrison, mystical bull thing that, God, why am I trying to keep the show clean? I was like, I gotta catch myself from saying bull S. I'm just in clean
good
mode.
Habit,
I don't want to get out of it. Yeah. Well, when I'm in this studio, it's hard for me to be dirty. Just like the other one, I can't exactly be clean because that's our after hours studio. That's the one where I'm profane.
But, you know, I got to say, like, one reason I don't like Adele, I feel like Amy killed herself because the popularity that Adele was attracting. And I don't like Adele's personality in addition to her face.
Adele's just the scorned fat woman. And I will counter by saying her face is the only thing I do like.
Oh.
Like, if Adele were in a stock, like a stockade,
right.
I would take head in a heartbeat as long as the rest was shrouded. And I'd be like, why is there a picnic table blanket?
I always thought she looked like her face like Miss Piggy. And so that's why whenever I heard that that Someone Like You song, I always imagined Miss Piggy singing it to the Kermit.
Now the voice is more Piggy-like to me.
Yeah, no, that's true too, dude.
I think she's got a great face. And it's like one of those, given her size, it doesn't show the weight that much. It shows a bit of weight.
I find her lyrics creepy too. Like, that whole song is about stalking some dude who got married to somebody else. I don't want to be
really
that dude.
I don't pay attention. It just seems like the entire thing is like a fat girl who doesn't have options, so she pines over everyone. Like, that's it.
It's all right. Like,
it should be called Songs I Wouldn't Sing If I Were Thin. That's the album title.
She's stuck up on a relationship, is most of this whole album. So that's why everybody's like, all the women are just down with this.
Oh,
why?
She sang her way through it? Because I know she's like banging some new guy. And she's like, oh, life's great.
Yeah, because that whole album was written after a breakup. And so all the songs are just creepy songs about breakups, where, like, being a dude, I'm just like, Yeah, I've been there, and I don't think you singing these songs make me feel any better
she
about the chick
I just
ditched.
Live in an American like, black neighborhood. She would be the belle of the ball. There would be no more songs from Adele. I don't think, like, British black dudes are like that. I don't think they have, like, a hoodie thing. Or at least, like, class in Britain, I do not believe to be defined by skin color. Or if it is, it's like Muslim people are considered the,
it's very
the poorest
different,
of the poor.
But at least in Britain, people understand, like, what Muslims actually believe. And they would recognize, like, generally that Barack Obama is not one.
Yes.
Whereas here, like, we have trouble getting that information out. Like, hey, he's not Muslim. Actually, his Muslim dad, like, abandoned him when he was how old, you know? Like, barely even knew the dude. So, like, not really. And it's just hard to get that information out. Like, I forgot. One time, I think there was a poll. It was at 50% of Americans thought that Barack Obama was Muslim.
That's crazy.
And, like,
as
they,
hell.
They don't.
First of all, who cares? I mean, like, he doesn't seem all that practicing. He's
have you been
exactly...
to Middle America, John? Have you spent time in, like, the heart of the red states?
No, it creeped the hell out of me. I'm not going to lie. As much as I'm, like, kind of apolitical because I think they're both crooks, I still lean left in that I think the left, although they're... I don't know how anyone can say they want bigger government than the right. Because the right does nothing to dismantle government.
Right.
They're just like, we'll keep everything around. We'll, like, do slightly smaller tax increases.
But, no, man, what I'm talking about is more, like, basic ideas of world and religion. Like, I'm talking, I went to Texas.
I've had
pretty
some
good
time
school.
Out there, and I've talked to people out there. And, yes, it's a different world.
Like,
compared.
Speaking to people, I consider it intelligent. Like, you know, I'm not going to diss people just for the things that they think are true or not.
Yeah.
I'm going to evaluate based on their reasonableness. And, like, I hate to admit it, but there's a way to convince yourself that the world's only 6,000 years old. And it scares the shit out of me that anybody goes with that theory of
creation.
World
That's
history.
The whole creationism thing, right?
Yeah, I mean,
and where,
like,
do they get the 6,000 from, by the way? Is that just because, like, the Bible goes back? I thought the Bible went back,
they,
like,
they follow the
3,000 or something?
No, it goes back about, like, 5,800. Because they have, like, this number where you add up all the years that are mentioned in Genesis, like, for the descent of people from Adam.
Okay, yeah, and that's, like,
so
the beginning
thing. So they trace it
back
to Adam. And they're like, this is the year because, like, we look at the genealogy till it, like, reaches a real person that we can mark in history by these dates. And then we just count it back from that. World is like 5,800 years old.
That is so fucking unbelievably creepy.
Yeah. And so, like, that's, I forget what percentage of Americans believe that the world is only 6,000 years old. It will absolutely kill you when you find out.
I think it was Jim Jefferies, this great Aussie comedian. And he was going on about, like, most of the world, especially Australia, their leaders are openly not religious.
Yeah.
And you would be considered a madman if you were like, hey, I'm being led by this guy I talk to who's like my secret friend in the sky. And here we cannot out-God each other hard enough if running for office. I could get into the whole religion thing. Like, I'm just a big believer, as I've said many times, you die and you rot. Ta-da, that's it. Like, you know why you have no memories from before you were here? Because you were nothing. Do you know what's going to happen when you die? Nothing. You will die. That's it.
This is why I would qualify for politics, because I do believe in God. And
yeah,
I can
you're
talk
a believer
talk,
in
so
stuff. Yeah.
I just, like, I'm rational. I like science.
Yeah.
I think, like, evidence. I like evidence.
No.
I think it shows things that, like, tend to, like, prove the truth.
And I want that so badly. That's another thing that people get. They're like, why do you get off on that belief? Like, I'm just getting my dick hard, tearing down what they want out of an afterlife. And it's like, look. You think I don't want to see my fucking dead cat again? I would love to. Think I wouldn't want an eternity of playing the best video games ever with Abraham Lincoln? Sounds like a blast.
I just want to sing one duet with Amy Winehouse.
Yeah, exactly. You think I don't want infinity at my fingertips and it doesn't get old? That sounds great. But I don't think it works that way.
Yeah, I mean.
That's it. That's it. That's just where I am with all that.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know why people focus on heaven so much. You got enough problems, like, day-to-day anyway. And it's nothing you can literally control, according to most religions anyway. Like, that's not your
call
anyway.
Really? I thought a lot
anyway.
Of religions, it was like, play by the rules and you get in there.
No, that's what preachers tell you in order to control you and get you to give them money.
Okay.
I don't know, like, any text that says, these are the rules, and if you follow these, then...
So you're saying the Bible's actually just guidance, but it's not like, break this and you're going to hell?
I mean, like, it gives you a good idea what's going on. It's just, like, the big thing in this country now is it's like, do this once, and then you're going to heaven. Like, come on down.
Oh,
hit
yeah.
the stage.
Just accept Jesus on your deathbed.
Yeah.
If that isn't the jivest thing on earth.
Like, if you accept Jesus today and proceed to kill 6 million Jews from now until your death, you're yeah, yeah. cool.
Hitler died a Catholic.
You know what
Never
I'm saying?
It's that. Just like... Never excommunicated. Died a Catholic.
I'm just saying.
But being gay is evil.
Hey, I'm Catholic now, you know.
I know. I remember this.
Thanks,
good old,
buddy.
Good old
Thanks,
Mr.
Buddy.
Prowl, my favorite history teacher. He was always just, he would say, Hitler died a Catholic. I always thought it was like a great like a bumper sticker or something.
Well,
he wanted to be a dick.
Yeah. But I mean, hey, actually, Hitler had a pretty strong alliance with the Protestants, too. I mean, just to
Dude,
throw my old
pagan.
Religion on the bus.
He would have wanted to worship Thor if he could.
Yeah.
And Loki and that whole host of
But
folks.
I mean, like, yeah, it's just, it's a strange thing the way that it's a sales pitch, oftentimes, I feel. And so, like, a lot of politics in this country just boils down to, sadly, like, people being told who to vote for.
Yes,
and
by
I don't
whoever
know what
their like little tribe is.
I don't know what percentage of people are telling their congregations to go vote based on, like, I'm your preacher, I control the keys to heaven, like, vote this way, or go to hell.
Or otherwise.
You will go to hell if you vote for that Muslim.
God, that is sinister. And I mean, that is the world. I think, correct me if I'm wrong, do you think the internet's changing a lot of that and, like, give it two generations of the internet and things could be vastly different?
It can go both ways. I mean, propaganda is just as strong as, like, fair information. So.
Yeah, but I mean, I think the hold of this is where you were born, so this is what you're going to know, that's being loosened to some degree.
That's absolutely being loosened, yeah.
I think that's big overall.
I think that's big.
I don't know. Maybe I'm talking out my ass on that one. I think that's a big thing.
No, I think it's huge. Hopefully people, like, follow good
sources. That's
like,
sources. You know, the slaves are freed, and it's like, why aren't you out there building skyscrapers now, freed slaves? It's like, dude, it takes a little time. You know, give people a couple
generations. Don't even get me started on that, yeah.
They'll get crap rolling eventually.
Holy shit. I'm so mad about.
Like what?
No, because, like, I'm big on a... I'm about to lose your audience here, man. But this book,
care.
The New Jim Crow.
You lost it 30 minutes
yeah,
ago.
Yeah, that's true.
Because of shit.
The New Jim Crow is like this just discussion of the new ways that racism has been built into like our criminal justice system.
Mm-hmm.
So like we've just found
well, like there's
ways.
A whole crack versus coke thing where it's like kind of
exactly,
the same
like
thing,
that kind
like,
of thing.
Crack is mandatory minimum sentences and coke. It's like pay your fine.
Yeah, and like the whole Trayvon thing where it's like, all right, so here you have a guy like killing a black kid and.
Yeah.
He claims that it was self-defense where he's going to let him go. Whereas, like, you switch the races, I think that dude's getting arrested.
Hell yeah. Are
you know what I mean?
Me? And it's again, just... I think it's fishy as hell. Like, I do think that guy had the shit beaten out of him. George, whatever. George Martin, is it?
But why?
But what I think it was yeah. because he was tracking the dude. Like, I think he was a paranoid weirdo, like, I'm going to act like I'm Dirty Harry type.
I'm pretty sure, like, I feel confident he instigated.
Yes,
like he clearly instigated, I think. It's just a matter of did he, like, as he got out of the car after talking to the 911 dispatcher, confront the kid, or did he just get out and suddenly get assaulted like he says?
Yes.
And either way, I think, like, I don't think you should be able to use that stand your ground defense. Because, like, I don't think you really stand your ground when you're stalking
somebody.
Damn
ground, yeah.
That ain't right.
That's like someone grabbing your fist and being like, stop hitting yourself, stop hitting yourself. You know, it's the same thing.
So, that's why, like, yeah. Getting back to Marvin's room.
Yes.
My people, please let me drop the N-word on my track. I'm telling you, like, I'm down. Like, I work hard on this issue.
I'll put a poll into the post. I'll be like, should he get an N-pass?
Y'all need to do that. Y'all need to do that. I think I'm just going to...
Yeah, polls just depress the hell out of me. I get, like, 8 votes. I'm like, really? Is that what I'm doing all this for? Fuck my life. This all was such a good idea.
I'm just scared to death. My black friends are going to, like, follow the link and see this and just be like, man, what is Howard doing?
Why do you need to say that, Howard? Why? Oh, damn. Well, you want to punch out on that note? I mean, we got pretty much a complete show, man.
Sure. Let's roll out. We'll We'll talk off air, see how we're feeling after that.
Hold on. Let me do my little outro music. We'll be all all punctual.
Enjoy, y'all.
There we go. Yeah. Howard, thanks again, buddy. If anyone wants to stalk Howard, do I give the last name for Facebook or?
Please do not look for me on Facebook. Twitter, though.
Okay, give your Twitter handle.
Epexegetical.
What the fuck?
I screwed it up. Epexegetical. I can't even say it. Like, I've just been doing this.
Can they just look for Howard?
I don't think they can. I think, like, the handle's tough. Maybe I'll, like...
Spell the handle,
I'll tweet you. E-P-E-X... E-G-E-T-I-C-A-L. I think I got that right.
That's the sign of a good handle right there. I'm at Papa's Basement. My name's John Papagiorgio.
I follow John, so you can... figure me out that way.
Show's website's in papasbasement.com. Again, you'll be able to find this and every other episode of this fine show called Papa's Basement. You got the Facebook links there, the iTunes links there, the Twitter link, everything. Until next week, we're out of here.
We're home free. School's out, baby.
Good show.
Nothing to talk about. Nothing to critique. Great show. Great guest tomorrow. You go home, have a glass of wine, whack off. I'll see you tomorrow.
That's the post-show critique?
Yeah, you're the best.
It's my time to go. I successfully burned all my bridges. Nobody loves me, and I don't love nobody.
Then he said penis.
Yeah. Then he said masturbation.
Then he said vagina. That was cool.
Had a mighty hard time, but I'm on my way. Had a mighty hard time, but I'm on my way. It's a mighty hard climb, but I'm on my way. On my way, glory, hallelujah, I'm on my way.